I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic, and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that, honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. This week's story is a listener suggestion. Thank you to Megan for bringing Alicia's story to my attention. Abductions and murders by strangers are extremely rare. As you would know if you're a regular listener to this podcast, a child is most likely harmed by a parent or close family member. But stranger abductions do happen. We talked about one in particular a few weeks back with Sarah Payne. Except while Sarah was taken from a cornfield, Alicia vanished from the safety of her own bed, a place where she should have been the safest. July 2018, Rothsay, Isle of Bute, Scotland. This small country town was thrust into the national headlines when 6-year-old Alicia McPhail was abducted from the home of her father, having arrived just 3 days before. She was raped and brutally murdered. The country in shock when it was revealed that her killer was still a child himself, a remorseless psychopath who admitted, "All I thought about was killing once I saw her." This is Alicia's story.
I have never before seen a police officer almost break down in the witness box, so affected was he by the sight. You removed her from there and took her to a secluded spot where you violated and murdered her in the most brutal fashion.
More than 600 people packed the funeral home in Coatbridge to say goodbye to little Alicia, many wearing pink in her memory as her family had asked.
It's just, you need to remember that it's hard to get noticed on YouTube, and every person that clicks that subscribe button, that helps a lot more than you think. Trust me.
Alicia is everything that I wanted to be. She was kind, caring, she's smart. Tell you, that girl would have went really far. And I just can't believe she'd got...
Aaron Thomas Campbell, you were found guilty of the abduction and murder of Alicia McPhail, a 6-year-old child.
Alicia Sarah McPhail was born October 22, 2011, in Glasgow, Scotland, to parents Georgina Loughran and Robert McPhail. Georgina and Robert were only in their mid-teens, and those relationships are hard enough to stand the test of time in the most perfect of circumstances. But on the stress of a newborn, and unfortunately, Georgina and Robert would split when Alicia was only 3 months old. Georgina and Robert were dedicated, however, to work together to raise their daughter. So, while Alicia lived primary with her mother and then a little sister in Airdrie, North Lancashire, she would spend every other weekend and half her school breaks with her father, his girlfriend Tony McLaughlin, and Robert's parents in Rothsay on the Isle of Bute. And Alicia adored her time with her dad. There was always trips to the beach and the park. It appears that despite their young ages, Georgina and Robert were doing an amazing job raising Alicia. In July 2018, when our story takes place, 6-year-old Alicia McPhail had just completed the second grade at Chapelside School, where her teacher would describe her as a smiley and happy little girl who loved being at school and always tried her best in classes. Alicia was a perfectionist and sensitive, but she was also quite popular amongst her classmates and always came to school with a charming smile on her face. Alicia was taking gymnastics classes, which she loved, and she was learning to cook with her mother. Alicia also loved creating videos and dreamed one day of becoming a YouTube influencer.
Hey guys, it's Alicia. Today I'm going to show you all about pasta, tzatziki. I'm going to be telling you all about pasta. So first of all, pasta is a food. Everyone knows that. And pasta is now made all over the world. This is a picture of pasta, which I don't like kind of pasta. So you'll be happy to see it. I'm just going to show you around, but this is the first egg. And this is the second egg. So they have been done with this. So, and this is the egg that they both need. So, and I think this is the egg. I'm going to show you some of the pages because I'm not sure about the pages. This is your last one. These are all the vegetables. It's a bit faster. So, guys, this is the end of my video showing you around this book and telling you stuff. And I hope you subscribe and tell me down below. If you like this video, give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Don't you forget to subscribe. Bye.
June 28th, 2018. Alicia was leaving to spend the first 3 weeks of her summer vacation from school with her dad, dad's girlfriend and grandparents. As soon as Alicia got there, she wanted to go to traditional Scottish dancing for lessons. But it was too late and the classes had already started. So instead, Alicia's grandparents, Callum and Angela, they suggested that instead they take a trip to Bay Beach, which was one of Alicia's most favourite places in the world. Every visit with Robert would result in a trip to the beach. 3 days into her visit, July 1st, 2018, Alicia woke up and the family had a big breakfast together. Alicia was watching YouTube, something she would do often during summer vacation. Alicia's grandfather Callum had a birthday party to attend that day, and Alicia was going to tag along. There would be a few children at the party around her age, so it was thought she could run around with the other children to tire herself out. Callum would later recall lovingly that on the trip back home, Alicia would tap the balloon on the back of his head, and the static would make his hair stand up, which she thought was hilarious, breaking into fits of giggles. That night, Alicia was put to bed around 10:30 p.m. Given it was summer vacation, she was allowed to watch some of her favourite TV show, Peppa Pig, on the television until she fell asleep. Tony was looking in and checking on the little girl, and Alicia would fall asleep very fast. She would have been exhausted after the excitement of the birthday party. But Tony would later report seeing Alicia in bed and asleep just after 11 p.m. The next morning, July 2nd, 2018, 6:23 a.m., Alicia's grandmother, Angela, opened her bedroom door to see if the little girl was awake. But Alicia wasn't in her bed. In fact, not only that, but she was nowhere in the house. Panicked, Angela woke everyone up. Alicia had never run away before. Well, she was only six, and six-year-olds don't generally run away. And besides, Alicia's bike was still laying outside in the garden. Alicia was reported missing to the police, and within a very short space of time, a helicopter was out searching the area. Angela appealed for help on Facebook, and the community really got together to search the area. At the same time, a Coast Guard volunteer was searching the shoreline, and while he wouldn't find Alicia, he would end up finding a kitchen knife lying on the ground close to the McPhail home. Just 2.5 hours after Alicia was reported missing, a local man, George Williams, who was volunteering in the search, George had made a devastating discovery. 9 a.m, Alicia's lifeless and naked body would be found. She was lying on her side, the killer making no attempt to conceal the body. Alicia being found in a wooded area on the ground of a former hotel, which was only about a 15-minute walk from the McPhail home. Six-year-old Alicia McPhail had been brutally raped and murdered. Alicia's mother, Georgina, who was about 70 miles or 110 kilometres away at the time, she only found out about her daughter's death because of Angela's Facebook post. The crime shocked the community of close to 7,000 residents. It was so savage that police knew they needed to find whoever did it fast before they harmed anyone else. Due to the time frame and the area, police believed that even though the community was a tight-knit one, the killer lived amongst them. July 3rd, 2018. Pathologist Dr. John Williams conducted Alicia's autopsy, and he concluded that the little girl had suffered 117 separate injuries all over her body, with injuries to her neck and face consistent with being held down, while injuries to her nose and mouth indicated that she had been suffocated. It was also possible that her windpipe had been pushed shut. There were no injuries to Alicia's feet, which was consistent with whoever had taken her, carried her out of the house to where she would be later found. Dr. Williams would later testify at trial that Alicia had catastrophic genital injuries more severe than he'd ever seen before, that the injuries included tears to her private parts consistent with, quote, severe and forceful inflicted penetration, unquote. Police made a public plea for anyone who had any information in regards to Alicia's murder to come forward. There was a heavy patrol on the streets looking for anything suspicious, and I would assume to bring a sense of safety to a worried community. Because if it could happen to the McPhail family, well, it could happen to any one of them. Not only that, but police were going door to door, making inquiries if anyone had seen or heard anything that night, asking them to check their Ring doorbell cameras and any other home surveillance systems. One of these doors the police knocked on was the home of the Campbells. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. In every great true crime story, there's always a turning point. The moment someone decides to change course. Well, here's a chance for a turning point of your own. Meet Foom, the flavoured air device designed to help you ditch the bad habits and feel good about what you're reaching for. There's no nicotine, no vapour, no batteries. Just an awesome design and flavours like crisp mint, black licorice and peach blush. It's a smarter, guilt-free alternative. Foom really makes replacing your bad habit easy. Your Foom comes with an adjustable airflow dial and is designed with movable parts and magnets for fidgeting, giving your fingers a lot to do, which is helpful for distressing and anxiety or while breaking your habit. And that's something that really made Foom appealing to me. I am a nervous fidgeter, especially when I'm researching or thinking about how to put my thoughts into words. Playing with my Foom really helps me center my focus. I'm also a massive fan of the mint flavour, but also super keen to try black licorice. Yes, I'm a weird person that loves licorice, so I will check back in with you in a few weeks for my review on that. Foom has already helped over 400,000 people take steps towards better habits, and now it's your turn. To kick off the new year, use our code STOLEN to get a free gift with your journey pack. Head to tryfoom.com. That's tryfum.com. Use code STOLEN to claim this limited time offer today. Jeanette Campbell lived a 10-minute walk from the McPhail family home with her elderly mother and a teenage son. She'd also been one of the many neighbours who had helped in the search for the six-year-old. Jeanette had installed cameras at the front and back of her home because her mother had dementia and would sometimes wander. But after she heard police were looking for anyone with information to come forward, she decided to check her CCTV footage to see if she had caught anything unusual. The night Alicia went missing, her 16-year-old son Aaron Campbell had a party at their house. He had invited about 15 friends over and they were celebrating the end-of-year exams. They partied and drank until around midnight. That's when all of his friends went home. Jeanette and Campbell had a fight because some of his friends had damaged some furniture, and this fight ended with Campbell storming to his room and slamming the door. Jeanette went to bed thinking her son would sleep it off and they could talk more reasonably in the morning. But when Jeanette checked the CCTV footage, she realised this was not the case. She saw Campbell coming and going from the house twice between 2 and 4:30 a.m. on the night of the murder. But when Jeanette questioned Campbell about this, he insisted he knew nothing about Alicia. He first claimed that he didn't know why he had gone out that night, but then he said it was probably to look for his phone, before then changing his story again, and he told his mother he went out to buy some weed. Jeanette had this sinking feeling, and she told Campbell that if he knew anything about what happened to Alicia, now is the time to say something. Because whomever was involved would have left some DNA behind and they would be found out. But again, Campbell denied knowing anything about Alicia's murder, so they wouldn't find his DNA. That he had never even seen the girl before. Jeanette, still not happy with her son's responses, decided it was best to bring the footage down to the police station to remove any suspicion. After this, the police obviously wanted to question Campbell for themselves. Not necessarily as a suspect, but as a potential witness. And Campbell was fully cooperative, answering all their questions, and he repeated the same story he told his mother, that he went out to try and buy some weed. July 4th, 2018. Police made an announcement they had made an arrest in 6-year-old Alicia McPhail's rape and murder. 16-year-old Aaron Campbell. Now, he wasn't so cooperative with the police. He was now giving police ambiguous answers. His behaviour changing dramatically to his earlier interviews. His mother's prediction was correct, however, and Campbell's DNA was found on Alicia's body along with fibres from his pants. Campbell was charged with the abduction, rape and murder. He pleaded not guilty, claiming he was being framed for the murder by someone else, and that someone else was Alicia's father's girlfriend, Tony McLaughlin.
This is our vlog. I'm just here to talk. I'm first going to start off with subscribers on YouTube. I had a little breaking point in the middle with 9 subscribers, where I slowed down and didn't get very many subscribers. But now I'm fast getting subscribers. I'm already up at 21 within about a week. So from 9 to 16 within a week is quite good. Like, my dream is obviously to get the same amount of subscribers as PewDiePie, maybe Yogscaster Syndicate, just people like that. Also, don't worry guys, I'm not just doing Minecraft. It's just, you need to remember that it's hard to get noticed on YouTube, and every person that clicks that subscribe button, that helps a lot more than you think. Trust me. So hope you guys enjoyed the video. Bye. See you guys later. And yeah, like, subscribe. Why do I repeat things, guys? Why do I repeat things? So annoying. I cry for you. Yes, you look, there was tears coming from my eyes. I cry.
16-year-old Aaron Campbell had moved to the Isle of Bute when he was 4 or 5 years old with his mother. Campbell's upbringing had been allegedly littered with physical and emotional abuse, and he would often argue with his alcoholic mother. Now, whether this was actually the case, we really don't know. Jeanette denies any of this happening, and she insists she was a good mother. Additionally, Campbell had a history of self-harm and depression. People who knew Campbell knew him as a smart teenager, with dreams of studying game design at university. He was popular with many friends and he liked sports, but he also had a dark side. Some thought he was joking when he said things of a dark nature. Others didn't know how to take it. Campbell was a keen gamer and he wanted to be a successful YouTuber. He was obsessed with the fictional character Slenderman, a tall, faceless figure that stalks and terrorises children. Friends would later reveal Campbell had killed and skinned cats in the past, and he had told at least one friend he wanted to kill one day just for the experience. About 18 months before Alicia was murdered, Campbell was entered into a rehabilitation after he was caught starting fires. Now, Campbell was being honest with one thing. He didn't know Alicia. However, he did know her father, Robert, and his girlfriend, Tony. Robert had previously sold the teen cannabis on a number of occasions. But he hadn't for at least 6 months before Alicia was murdered. Campbell had kind of soured that connection. He went around complaining about the quality of the product Robert was selling him, and then he refused to pay Robert the £10 he owed him. Campbell would also claim that he and Tony were having casual sex and had been since late 2017. Although there is absolutely no evidence this was the case, and Tony has adamantly denied it ever happened. It was the prosecution's case that on the night of July 1st, 2018, Aaron was drinking with his friends. Aaron himself admitted to drinking a bottle and a half of wine in about half an hour, although he claimed he was not drunk but feeling the effects of the alcohol somewhat. The party ended and his friends left. But one friend would later return and they would state they found Campbell in bed, quote, worryingly depressed, unquote, and suicidal. This friend offered to stay with him for the night, but Campbell declined. After this, Campbell sent a few text messages to several people to ask if they had any cannabis. One of these text messages was to Roberts McPhail. And then Campbell tried calling Tony twice, but there was no answers to any of his calls and messages, which is understandable given it was around 1:45 at this point. I guess this angered Campbell and he decided he was going to break into Robert's home and steal the drug, taking a kitchen knife with him just in case he was confronted. Once he was there, he was able to walk right in. Alicia's grandmother would later report they had a habit of leaving the front door not only unlocked, but the key to the door still in the lock. No one noticed he was there. And while there was no cannabis in the house, Campbell did notice a sleeping Alicia, and this triggered the dark urges inside him. Campbell would later admit that when he had seen Alicia, all he could think about from that point on was killing her. Campbell lifted Alicia up from her bed and took her out of the house, again without anyone noticing. He walked to the shore, where there was a wooded area on the site of a former hydropathic hotel, and where her body would later be found. Alicia did wake up and she was drowsy, but became a bit more awake when he carried her outside. Alicia asked Campbell who he was and he told her he was a friend of her father and he was taking her home. Alicia was barefoot and in her pajamas and she was cold, and Campbell said he gave her his top. Once they reached the secluded spot, Campbell raped and murdered Alicia. He then threw his blood-stained clothing into the sea. Campbell would then go home and have a shower before returning again to where Alicia's body was to get his phone. Jeanette's CCTV footage showed Campbell leaving the home at 1:54 a.m. and he was all dressed in black clothing. He returned home at 3:35 a.m. and he was no longer wearing the black top, supporting the prosecution's version of events. 10 minutes later, a light was turned on in the bathroom inside the house. And then just 1 minute after that, the footage showed Campbell leaving the house again wearing shorts and carrying an item. Finally, 4 a.m, he was seen on footage shining a light and running off from his home. A neighbour of the Campbells, Alexander McLaughlin, his CCTV footage seemingly aligns with Jeanette's, showing someone walking as if carrying something on the shoreline, Alexander presuming that someone was carrying a child. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Aaron Campbell's trial started on February 10, 2019. Since Campbell was under 18 at the time of the murder and trial, his identity was redacted until after the verdict had been reached. Now, normally, his identity wouldn't even be released after a conviction, like we saw with the murderers of Arnold Kriegel, for example. However, a judge overturned that on this occasion.
Guys, it's Aaron Campbell here again.
His name is Aaron Campbell, the teenager guilty of abducting, raping, and murdering 6-year-old Alicia McPhail. Today we can identify him for the first time. Aaron Campbell thought he could hide behind a veil of anonymity because he's 16, but the media in Scotland challenged that in court and won.
The judge today took into account that if there was ever a case in which he should exercise his discretion to allow that, then this was it, given the extreme and shocking nature of it. And that was one of the reasons why the Scottish media lodged the application in order to allow the murderer to be named.
Since it's been getting a little bit sunnier in Scotland.
It was Aaron Campbell's own mother who called police when she reviewed CCTV footage from their family home. After taking her out of her bedroom and carrying her body all the way along the beach and up this hill, the 16-year-old left Alicia in these woods. She was found naked with her pyjamas lying beside her, and she sustained 117 injuries. The pathologist examining her body said some of them were unlike anything he'd ever seen. Alicia's family wanted Aaron Campbell publicly named and shamed.
The trial would last 9 days at the High Court in Glasgow. Campbell claiming he had never met Alicia and lodged a special defence naming 18-year-old Tony McLaughlin as the killer. And this is what the defence argued. Aaron Campbell giving evidence at the trial. He claimed that he and Tony met for sex earlier that night. He believed Tony killed Alicia because she was jealous of the attention she received from Robert. And after she killed her, she planted Campbell's semen at the crime scene. He told the court that he believed that she had his semen from a condom he had used when they had sex. The prosecution argued that Campbell had seen an opportunity and he had just taken it. That his DNA had been detected on 14 different parts of Alicia's body. The prosecution called a cybercrimes expert to testify that Campbell had used his phone the day after Alicia had been murdered. He used it to Google search how do police find DNA. That he had visited a website about collecting DNA evidence. A friend of Campbell would testify in court. She told the jury that just hours after Alicia's body had been discovered, Campbell had filmed himself in a Snapchat video. In this video, he is filming his reflection in a mirror and would say he found the guy who's done it in a caption reading killer. This friend also testified that Campbell had told her he might kill one day for a lifetime experience. It took the jury just 3 hours of deliberation to find Aaron Campbell guilty of the abduction, rape and murder of 6-year-old Alicia McPhail. Campbell remaining unemotional and seemingly unaffected when the verdict was read. Judge Lord Matthews said Campbell's crime had caused revulsion and disbelief. He said Alicia had been violated and murdered and told Campbell he was, quote, a cold, callous, calculating, remorseless and dangerous individual, unquote. After the trial and before sentencing, Campbell was assessed by a doctor and social worker. I guess he realised he had nothing to lose now. Maybe he wanted to get a reaction out of the doctors, I don't know, but he would admit to the crimes. One report from these interviews, in the 12 months prior to the murder, Campbell had entertained thoughts of, quote, doing something excessive, unquote, including rape. Although he claimed that Alicia was already dead before any sexual activity took place. However, the autopsy would prove that not to be the case, and unfortunately, Alicia was still alive when she was sexually assaulted. In the report, it recorded Campbell's reaction when he saw Alicia, quote, moment of opportunity. At any other time in life, murder would not have been the conclusion. If I was a year younger, I don't think I would have done it. All I thought about was killing her once I saw her, unquote. Campbell told the doctor that in the days following Alicia's murder, he was unconcerned, but found it funny that the police had not arrested him. He also told the doctor that at points during the trial, it took everything to stop him laughing and he had to, quote, zip his mouth shut, unquote. He revealed that he was quite satisfied with the murder.
Aaron Thomas Campbell, you were found guilty of the abduction, rape and murder of Alicia McPhail, a 6-year-old child. Merely stating that fact is horrific enough, but the circumstances surrounding these vile crimes and the manner of their commission have quite rightly aroused revulsion and disbelief that these sorts of things could happen. Alicia had just arrived on Bute to spend a holiday with her father and grandparents and had gone to bed apparently safe in her own room. No doubt she was looking forward to what the next few weeks had in store. Her father and his parents would have enjoyed every minute of it, while her mother and her family would have been counting down the days till they saw her smiling face again. Meanwhile, you attended a party at your own home, consumed alcohol, and then, on your account, to which I will return, went off in search of cannabis. You went into the house and then her bedroom. You removed her from there and took her to a secluded spot where you violated and murdered her in the most brutal fashion. The details of that were revealed in the evidence and I do not intend to go over them again. It is difficult to imagine the distress which your family must have suffered, not only when she went missing, but when the awful news came in that she had been found dead. That distress can only have been intensified, if that was possible, by their finding out the extent of what you did to her, not only in the weeks and months immediately afterwards, but in the course of the trial. I have read statements by her parents and grandparents in which they have tried to express their loss and the emptiness which greets them every day. Just as I know that no sentence which I can pass will alleviate their anguish, so I know that mere words are poor reflections of it. The effect on the island community was profound. Many of them rallied round to help in the search, and the effect on those who saw Alicia in the woods will be long-lasting. I have never before seen a police officer almost break down in the witness box, so affected was he by the sight. The contrast between them and you could not be more vivid. Your attitude was clearly demonstrated by the evidence that you posted an image of yourself in a mirror while making a joke that you had found where the murderer was hiding. The arrogance and callousness of that is breathtaking. Thanks to the dedication of the police and forensic scientists, ably assisted by members of the public, such as those who came forward when they found articles of your clothing on the shore, you were eventually brought to justice. Despite the overwhelming evidence against you, you did not plead guilty but elected to go to trial. That was your right, and I do not increase your sentence because of it. However, it is symptomatic of your staggering lack of remorse. Not once during the trial did I detect a flicker of emotion from you, and that was also the experience of the professionals who interviewed you for the purposes of the reports, to which I will turn shortly. Your defence was one of incrimination of a young woman, Toni Louise McLaughlin, and you gave evidence in support of it. It was a cruel travesty of the truth, which was understandably reported widely in the media and left her open to suspicion at the very least, and quite possibly hatred, all of which was due to your perverted machinations. I am very grateful to Mr. McConaughey, who today made it clear that she was completely innocent. Mr. McConaughey has said all that could be said on your behalf, entirely in keeping with the exemplary way the trial was conducted on both sides of the bar. All matters of fact which could reasonably be agreed were agreed, and the issues were well focused and laid before the jury. As I said to the jury after they returned their verdict, counsel do not make up defences, but present the case on the basis of their instructions. It is obvious what your instructions were, and your evidence was entirely in keeping with them, albeit it was a tissue of lies. It does not go too far, therefore, when I say that I was shocked when I saw the contents of the Criminal Justice Social Work Report and the report from Dr. McPherson, the Consultant Forensic Clinical Psychologist. Each of these reports contains clear admissions by you of your guilt. Not only that, and this is a terrible thing to say of one so young, but they paint a clear picture of a cold, callous, calculating, remorseless and dangerous individual. I do not intend to go into every detail of the reports or of your admissions, since much of it would, I think, be distressing, and much of it merely confirms some of the evidence which was led. However, I think it right that the public, and more particularly her family, be given some flavour of the contents. Dr. McPherson noted that you presented your account in a matter-of-fact manner, notable for the absence of any emotions. He recorded that you told him that in the 12 months prior to the murder, you entertained thoughts of doing something excessive, including rape. Your account, in brief, was that you had been drinking but wanted cannabis and decided to break into the house to get some. You took a kitchen knife because you wanted to protect yourself, but having gained entry, you left the house and disposed of it. You returned to the house and entered Alicia's bedroom. Amongst other things, Dr. McPherson records that you told him that you had consumed 1.5 bottles of wine between 8 o'clock and 8:30, but that you did not feel intoxicated, although you told the social worker that you still felt the effects of it. You were not under the influence of any illicit substances. He records that when you saw Alicia, your reaction, according to you, was as follows, and I quote, "A moment of opportunity. At any other time in life, murder wouldn't have been the conclusion. If I was a year younger, I don't think I would have done it. All I thought about was killing her once I saw her." You told both Dr. McPherson and the social worker in some detail what you did. You said that Alicia was drowsy and became a bit more awake when you went outside. At one point, she asked who you were and where you were going. You said you were a friend of her father's and that you were taking her home. You gave her your top because she was cold. I will not go into the horrific and cold-blooded details of what you said you did to her, but you explained that after you murdered Alicia, you threw your bloodstained clothing into the sea, had a shower, and then went back where you left her to retrieve your phone. Dr. McPherson reports that you told him that over the next few days, you were totally unconcerned, other than to be mildly amused that the police had not arrested you. Two other aspects of his report are worth mentioning. The first is that you told him that at points during the trial, it took everything to stop you laughing and you had to zip your mouth. The second is that you volunteered that you were quite satisfied with the murder. According to all of the reports, you are not suffering from any mental health disorder, and indeed you are not suffering from any syndrome or disorder of any kind. On the other hand, you are completely lacking in victim empathy, the social worker noting your cold, calculating manner. The only sentence I can impose on you is detention without limit of time. In addition, you will be subject to the notification provisions of the Sexual Offences Act 2003 for an indefinite period. However, I also have to specify a period which must pass before you can apply for release on parole. Whether you will ever be released will be for others to determine. But as matters stand, a lot of work will have to be done to change you before that could be considered. It may even be impossible. The period I select is known as the punishment part of the sentence, and its purpose is to satisfy the requirements of retribution and deterrence. The parole board will deal in due course with the protection of the public. I have taken account of the circumstances of the offences, the contents of the reports, and everything said on your behalf. I am conscious that you are a child. In sentencing children, it has to be borne in mind that they are not yet fully rounded, mature human beings. A child's best interests are a primary consideration, and the desirability of the child's reintegration into society must also be taken into account. However, the weight to be given to the various sentencing considerations will depend on a number of factors, including the age of the child and all the circumstances of the case. The nature of these appalling offences and what I have read in the reports make it clear to me that reintegration and rehabilitation, while these are important considerations, are remote possibilities, and neither your best interests nor anyone else's will be served by a speedy return to the community. Nonetheless, the punishment part will not be as long as it would have been had you been an adult. Your sentence will run from 6 July 2018. You will be detained without limit of time, and I fix the punishment part at 27 years.
March 21st, 2019. In his sentencing statement, the judge said the teenager had showed breathtaking arrogance during the trial and failed to plead guilty despite overwhelming evidence against him. He said Campbell had shown, quote, a staggering lack of remorse. Not once did I detect a flicker of emotion from you, unquote. Aaron Campbell being sentenced to life imprisonment, having to serve 27 years before he would be eligible for parole.
I've been asked by the family to read out a couple of statements on their behalf. First of all, from Alicia's mum, words cannot express just how devastated I am to have lost my beautiful, happy, smiley wee girl. I am glad that the boy who did this has finally been brought to justice and that he will not be able to inflict the pain on another family as he has done to mine. Alicia, I love you so much. My wee pal, I will miss you forever. Georgina would also like to thank Mr. McSporn for his sensitive handling of this terrible case. And finally, from the McPhail family, we can't believe that we will never see our wee angel Alicia again. We miss her so much. We hope that the boy who took her from us is jailed for a long time because of what he has done to our family. Alicia may be gone from our lives, but she will always be in our hearts. Thank you very much.
Campbell appealed the severity of the sentence and had his minimum term reduced by 3 years to 24 years before he'd be eligible for parole. Three judges ruled that his sentence had been excessive due to his age. According to the news media reports I have found in recent years, Campbell is not doing well in prison. His family have completely disowned him. His mother Jeanette stating in 2019 that she feared visiting her son in prison because she was afraid she'd be attacked herself. And then in June 2022, Aaron Campbell was brutally beaten in HM Young Offenders Institution, where he was imprisoned until his 23rd birthday. He was beaten to the point of needing to be hospitalised. According to prison sources, since his conviction, Campbell had become the main target for inmates and he was afraid to leave his cell. But on this day, his cell door was left ajar during lunch, and that's how the inmate got a hold of him. The beating being so severe that a guard had to drag the inmate off of Campbell. Aaron Campbell was relocated in October 2024 to Glenochill Nick, a high-security adult prison, to serve out the rest of his sentence. He will be eligible for parole in 2042 when he is 40 years old. Alicia's funeral was held on July 21, 2018 in Coatbridge and was attended by hundreds. Alicia would then be buried in Coatswood Cemetery. May 25, 2019, a pink memorial bench was unveiled at the Rothsay Promenade. And then on June 20th, 2019, a playhouse was built at Alicia's primary school in her memory. It was decorated by her fellow classmates as a way to express their grief and love for their lost friend. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice, and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.